it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
It's always daunting following the legendary duo of A.J. Hoffman and Fred Fowler. And today in for Aaron Raybould, old friend. Another one of the great lineup and... Well, we've built an incredible squad of producers over at ESPN 97.5, 92.5. It is the one and only Tyler Scott. Tyler, how are you? Welcome in.
How's it going, Glenn? Happy to be here.
It's going good. It's been 1 year since I have been in studio, but I think I'm going to make the move soon to come back in and make it a little bit more personal, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're about to open everything back up.
I know. How do you feel about that?
I feel like I'm okay with it, but... Now, I think it definitely should be fall on the business to decide whether or not they want to make require people to have a mask or not. I think they should have been in the driver's seat with that this entire time instead of kind of being told what to do. And I mean, I'm probably still going to wear a mask depending on what place I'm at. But yeah, I don't. I kind of hope they would have done this sooner instead of kind of making us all go through all this, but I understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, small businesses, hopefully it's helpful, and hopefully everybody still uses wise judgment here. It's up to you, quite frankly. All right, so a couple of good things here tonight. I am pumped for radio tonight, and if you're listening in your car, I don't know if you're on the internet, via the app, wherever. Thanks for tuning in tonight. I got a lot of good things in store for you. I'm your humble guest, Glenn Davis. By the way, Tyler Scott's a big music guy. So, Tyler, I want you to be thinking about this tonight as well as our listeners. What are the greatest rock intros? Now, you can't just tell me a whole bunch of Van Halen, although a couple of them will be in there. But you think about some of your greatest rock intros, and we'll talk about it at some point here. Tonight. Call in number 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. I would love for you to hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Stock. I'm trying to build the Instagram up a little bit more as a means of communication and trying to have some fun there. I will be very honest with you. I feel a little goofy doing the videos sometimes. I don't know if it just makes me a little bit anxious, like I'm trying to shine the light on myself, which ultimately I am because I'm trying to promote the radio show. So you know, you have to be in the social media game, the Twitter game, the Instagram game. Not the way Barcelona and their former president Bartomeu was in the game, and we'll talk about tonight some of the crazy, really dark use of the internet by the former Barcelona president, and we will have on a great guest tonight, Jordi Sunyer from Barcelona, Spain. How about that? We go into Barcelona, Spain tonight, Tyler. We take you around the world on this show. Jordi, TV3 over there, tremendous. He's going to give us insight. Bartomeu was arrested with a number of other people, and he's going to take us into things that are going on over there. By the way, Barcelona is not far off the top of the table, and they're still in it to potentially win La Liga, as well as Real Madrid. Wouldn't say either of these teams have been particularly stunning. And Atletico Madrid has had a real drop in form that's allowed these two to get back in it. So there you go. 713-780-3776. Second hour is going to be all Major League Soccer. A ton of Dynamo in there with Tab Ramos, the Houston Dynamo coach. Dynamo getting off and running on Monday, first training session. We're hearing it was absolutely buzzing out there, which normally that's what you do here in the beginning. And coaches have to, they got to kind of pull people back a little bit and just say, whoa, you know, we got 46 days till our first game. We don't want anybody getting injured here. But, you know, there's a lot of turnover. 7 or 8 new players. This is a lot of turnover. It's a lot of questions. And those questions will be answered over the next, over the preseason and the 46 days leading up to what hopefully will be an April 17th. That's the date MLS has put out, start to the season. And then Christian Ramirez also on the show. And I get real with Christian about the striker position, about the pressing game, about a number of these things tonight, and Tab as well. So these guys are good interviews. They're giving you good information. So if you're a Dynamo fan, you'll want to hear some of this stuff tonight. And it'll be different stuff than you heard in the press conference, different questions. So Jordi Suñé from Barcelona, Spain, TV3, on BarcaGate, and a situation that seems to be getting more bizarre by the day out there. But Jordi's going to take us into the inside. Tab Ramos talking about, the opening of training camp, but also the level of competition there. We also talk about sort of the phases of preparing and leading up to the first game. So you got that today. Now, as far as Carlos Salcedo, I didn't ask Tab Ramos about it. I've asked enough about it. To me, I think it's nice to hear the Dynamo were tracking him. I think it would be very sort of out of the character or the consistency of what the Dynamo have done spending-wise. So I don't think that would happen. I think they're pretty content right now with what they have at the center-back position, and the big signing there, obviously, was Tim Parker. So my thoughts on that. And, you can see headlines and things. At the end of the day, Matt Jordan said it on my show a couple of weeks ago, and he's said it yesterday in the press conference. There's been no formal offer made. We're monitoring him. Well, monitoring, they're monitoring hundreds of players. And, of course, Salcedo's a big one. He's got the tie to Tigres. His value probably went up based on the way he played at the FIFA Club World Cup. I get it, but, I think it's a pretty, it's a long shot, right? It's a long shot. Nice that Dynamo were checking him out, though. But I think they got their man in Tim Parker, who's going to help the Dynamo when the ball turns over, defending in the transition game. One part of helping it. It'll also depend on the blend in midfield as well. So, Soccer Matters is on the air right now. 713-780-3776. Lines are open here in the first segment. 713-780-3776. A couple of things. Today, Serie A. Juventus, 3-0 winners over Spezia, which was a team that got promoted. Actually, they played very well the first 45 minutes, Spezia. And I hope I'm pronouncing that right. If not, my Italian friends will correct me. 600th league appearance for Cristiano Ronaldo. He scored in the 89th minute when the game was over at that point. Federico Chiesa, 62nd minute, the son of the famous Enrico Chiesa. No, he wasn't an opera singer. Enrico Chiesa was an incredible soccer player, very good one. And Alvaro Morata in the 71st scored earlier. So Juventus now is 7 points. Only 7 points off of Inter Milan at the top of the table. So all of a sudden they've emerged. They're only 3 points behind second place AC Milan. Weston McKennie got taken off in about the 64th minute. And then also today, Manchester City defeated, by the way, did anybody watch that game? Defeated Wolves 4-1. Wolves came out in all maroon. Okay, I'll be kit. Okay, that's how you're hip. I would say uniform. All maroon with green socks, which was an obvious nod to the Portuguese national team. City defeating Wolves 4-1. They get 3 goals in the final 10 minutes plus stoppage time. And there hasn't been a title race for weeks in the Premier League. So you can, that's done. Gabriel Jesus getting 2, Mahrez and an own goal. Kevin De Bruyne back in action, which is a positive sign for Champions League. So based on the distance that City now have put between the competition and the Premier League, and basically second place is Manchester United, a whopping 15 points behind Manchester City is Manchester United. So based on that, and the ability now to manage the season out and a roster and his players, and, you know, have the ability to, you know, put in place rotation. Are they the favorites to win the Champions League over Bayern Munich, Manchester City? You tell me. 713-780-3776. And is the season, I mean, City wants the Champions League, something, you know, god-awful bad. They want it so bad. That's why Guardiola was brought there. Are they the favorites over Bayern Munich? Where do you see PSG in Kylian Mbappe? They're a threat. So Guardiola and City now, a 21-game winning streak in all competitions. They've, in their last 21, 21-game winning streak, 55 goals scored, only giving up 8. And they did sort things out in central defense. John Stones playing better. In many of their games, they have 60 to 70% of the ball. That's pretty incredible. That's staggering to think about. But the real focus in the Premier League is not on, obviously, the title. It's on who's going to bag Champions League places. Lucrative Champions League places. And there's a number of teams fighting for it. This is going to be pretty incredible. This is going to be a photo finish. We're going to go down to the last game of the year. And there could be some real movement for those Champions League places between Manchester United, Leicester City, West Ham United, Chelsea, Liverpool, and Everton. I'm not going to throw Spurs in there right now. All right, so when we come back, we are going to talk about the scandal in Barcelona. They're calling it Barcagate. Barcelona, under Bartomeu, paid for negative social media posts. So basically what you do is you go out, you spend over €1 million, you hide this, and you put out all this incriminating fake account stuff, and you're slanderizing Messi, Piqué, and anybody who was against the Bartomeu regime. This is really fascinating stuff. You got to listen carefully to this next interview with Jordi Sunyer. 13 different social media companies were monitoring and then working with Bartomeu on this, including some in Argentina. This is really, really weird stuff. And he got arrested by the police. But Jordi Sunyer is going to take us through it when we come back. Again, the show, as always, is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters here. John and his firm, you get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle. You might drive an 18-wheeler, work in a refinery, might do construction. Call the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. They're going to bring you a personalized approach that works for you 24-7, nights and weekends. So, simply, get the representation you need with the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT, bilingual. And by the way, they bring you soccer on the radio. All right, we'll take a break. More to come.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Everybody knows about what's going on at Barcelona with Barcagate. Stunning, spectacular, in its head-spinning way. It is pretty crazy stuff going on there. The next interview is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. He's a great friend of the show. TB3 in Spain, in Barcelona. He is Jordi Sunyer. Jordi, thank you very much, as always, for coming on the show.
Pleasure to be on the show, Glenn.
All right. So I think the obvious thing that I need to do here is just give you a platform here to kind of talk about the arrest of former Barcelona president Bartomeu. Kind of some of the details behind what is going on right now, because it's a pretty stunning situation.
Yeah. at the time of speaking, breaking news is that José María Bartomeu has been released this morning, released with no bail, but he's still under investigation. So he's not, let's say, totally free. As you know, because of coronavirus restrictions, he couldn't leave the country, but he still retains his passport with him. So he has been released with no bail, but he's still under investigation himself and three other former FC Barcelona executives who were put under arrest yesterday. The CEO, Oscar Grau, the head of the legal services at FC Barcelona, Román Gómez Ponti, and also an important character in all this story that could make a fantastic Netflix series, for sure, that is the personal counselor of José María Bartomeu, Jaume Masferrer, because according to what has been leaked of the investigation, it seems that everything comes from this social media campaign that you already know. It seems, according to investigations by Catalan police, that Bartomeu had the idea of beginning the social media campaign in order to insult and to create opinions against people who are against his style of ruling FC Barcelona. But there was an executor who was his personal counselor, Jaume Masferrer. Jaume Masferrer is like what you call here in the States a spin doctor, that people around the world of politics, the politicians, the parties that define the public personas, how the politicians have to behave as public personas. So the idea around the club always and around the press department and communications department at FC Barcelona has always been to protect the image and the persona of José María Bartomeu. So they really thought this could be a good idea, beginning a campaign on social media. I don't think it's a good idea because many members of FC Barcelona, many socios, are elderly people who don't master social media. Many people who will vote in this Sunday's elections for a new president at FC Barcelona get informed by traditional media, by newspapers, by radio, by television, not by internet, not by Twitter, not by Facebook. But anyway, they thought that this could be a good idea. But the thing is that they paid an overprice for this service.
Jordi, let me just stop you there because I just want to remind people you're listening to Jordi Sunyer, TV3. And this campaign was literally against guys like Lionel Messi and Gerard Piqué, who had some friction with Bartomeu and his regime. So it's basically he's attacking his own. And I'll let you carry on now because it was 13 different ventures or companies that helped create this smear campaign.
Yeah. The thing is, he attacked, or they attacked, the campaign was aimed to not only these players you mentioned, like Gerard Piqué or Lionel Messi, players who have more publicly or more privately questioned the Bartomeu regime, but also against journalists. For example, a journalist at TV3 hosting the night sports show was attacked by fake accounts in social media, who later it was discovered and confirmed through a journalistic investigation that were created by this net of companies. And any person, any public person who opposed the Bartomeu regime. But this is not ethical. Of course, it's not ethical. It's ugly. But what's being investigated, what can be an offense, is the fact that they paid an overprice for this service. FC Barcelona paid, apparently, because it's under investigation, six times more the normal market price for this kind of service. I mean, if this service costs 200,000 euros, they paid 1,200,000 euros. But in addition, they sliced the invoice. They paid six different invoices for this service because through FC Barcelona rules, if any department of the club has to make an expense more expensive than 200,000 euros, it has to be approved by the whole board of directors. If the invoice is lower than this 200,000 euros, only José María Bartomeu, the chief executive officer, Bartomeu's personal counselor and the economic vice president of FC Barcelona, what is called the Comisión Delegada, the delegate commission. Only these four people need to approve this expense. The rest of the board of directors does not need to know even that the club or any department of the club has to make this expense. That means that probably may mean private corruption, and that's what's being investigated. If this issue can be considered as private corruption, so there's an economic offense here. One important thing before I finish is, or two important things. First of all, Barcelona in all these cases is considered as a victim, not as an offender. This is important because, as you may remember, when Barcelona was convicted for tax fraud because of everything that happened around the signing of Neymar, José María Bartomeu and former president Sandro Rosell reached an agreement with the Spanish Fiscalía to blame the club and not get blamed themselves. This won't happen now. The offenders may be Bartomeu and the other executives of the club of FC Barcelona, not the club. That's important because the club can carry on in the future without being considered an offender. And yesterday, the judge who is investigating the case only ordered for the raid that you already know that happened in the Camp Nou yesterday morning, and the search for evidence in FC Barcelona offices, in José María Bartomeu and Jaume Masferrer homes, and in the offices of two companies, one of them i3 Ventures, the company who went ahead with this social media campaign. The decision to put under arrest José María Bartomeu, Oscar Grau, Roman Gómez Ponti, and Jaume Masferrer was exclusively a police decision. That's important because this was not ordered by a judge. It was a decision by the Catalan police, and it has been the Catalan police that has decided that this night, José María Bartomeu and Jaume Masferrer had to sleep in a police station, in one of the central police stations here in Barcelona. So it has generated a bit of controversy because Catalan police in the last days, because of demonstration and incidents here in Barcelona, have been heavily criticized. And it seems it could be a kind of a campaign by Catalan police to restore a good image these days. But this
happens. That's what I was going to start thinking here. We're talking to Jordi Sunyer, TV3. How shaming is this for fans of Barcelona? I mean, I'm really wondering what the pulse of the fan is, because the fan over there is of every age. It's so diverse. You know, what are they feeling right now? And don't take me yet into the competitive side, because we'll get into that in a second. But
yeah,
but tell me where the fan base is right now with all this, and where do the allegiances lie?
Older FC Barcelona fans are more conservative. That means they are not eager to change things in the club, and are more likely to forgive all the situations. So I would say older fans are not as ashamed nor as scandalized as younger fans can be. And younger fans connect to the internet and know what FC Barcelona means for fans all over the world, because they know that, because they surf through the internet, through social media, know in the States, in India, in China, wherever in the world, FC Barcelona was considered the greatest club in the planet. And it's not considered the greatest club in the planet anymore. If you surf through social media these days, you even see other clubs mocking FC Barcelona. For example, after the defeat in the Champions League against Paris Saint-Germain, 1-4, Monaco defeated Paris Saint-Germain in the French League at the Parc des Princes. And there was a message by Monaco in Twitter saying, "Hey, FC Barcelona, if you want, we can show you how to beat Paris Saint-Germain, as you weren't able to do that." And Roma, after the defeat in the UEFA Champions League 2017-2018, that 3-0, Liverpool, many other clubs have made tweets and have made humor on the situation of FC Barcelona. That didn't happen some years ago. Barca was respected, was admired everywhere in the world. That doesn't happen anymore.
Leave it to the internet, Jordi, to kick someone when they're down and get a little bit of your own little glory out of it. Isn't that a nice thing about the internet? It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No. I know you can rely only on the internet. I know that. But besides of the internet, I think the fans all over the world don't think of Barcelona as the biggest club in the planet anymore, and that hurts as I was saying, because FC Barcelona, as you know, not only represents the club, it's more than a football club. It represents a society, a region, a country. It represents Catalonia, and that hurts not only for the image of the club, but also for the image of the country.
Jordi Sunyer, joining us here, TV3 in Spain, does a tremendous job. We're always so lucky to have you on, Jordi. Has Bartomeu destroyed the club? Let's just throw that out there right now. Has he destroyed the club?
It's a good debate to have, because until now, everyone at Barcelona considered that or thought that the worst regime was the one by Joan Gaspar in between 2000 and 2003. And the debate has been Bartomeu's regime worse than Joan Gaspar's one? It's a difficult question, because they both were bad regimes for Barcelona. In 2003, Barcelona was also in dire straits, and some radical decisions taken by Joan Laporta, who's likely to be elected the next president of FC Barcelona in this Sunday's elections. Some radical decisions by Laporta, like bringing Ronaldinho or changing radically some politics in the club, managed to revert a situation that was really, really difficult. But it seems that economically, the situation right now is worse than in 2003, mainly because of the pandemic, because we're exiting this pandemic that has brought great damage to
football. But didn't the pandemic take off the emperor's clothes here and show us
maybe
how the business has been mismanaged by people? And I mean, if the pandemic doesn't hit, the good times roll, and maybe this is not disclosed.
I agree with you, because all the world of football has been affected by the pandemic. But if a pandemic and the consequences of the pandemic add to mismanagement in the club that has been happening for the last 4, 5, 6 years, that brings to a situation which is highly complicated. Barcelona has or should have to pay. I think I'm saying that I have not read the amount, but I think it's higher than 700 million euros of debt at short notice in the coming year. Next president will have to negotiate this debt, because of course it's impossible for Barcelona in the current situation to pay this debt in only 1 year. They will have to negotiate loans or slicing this debt, because it's impossible. Barcelona are really in dire straits right now, and of course who has been the president in these last few years, who has presided over the decline, the sporting and the economic decline of the club? It's José María Bartomeu. It's obvious. So I think there's clearly a responsible for that, and that has to be seen. Him, I think it's clear.
Jordi, let's move on to the competitive side, because despite all of this, now, yes, Barcelona took a beatdown in the Champions League to PSG and Kylian Mbappe. But despite this, they're tied for second with Real Madrid. They're 5 points away with Atletico at top of the La Liga. They will play April 11th against Real Madrid. They'll play May 9th against Atletico. Saturday, they're at Osasuna. Just talk about the competitive side. Are they really title worthy? And, I mean, it's obvious they're competing for the title still in La Liga, despite what's going on in Europe. And how difficult has this been for Ronald Koeman to keep the focus on football?
First of all, answering your last question, kudos to Ronald Koeman, because he's doing great job in a very difficult situation. For him, it's very difficult coaching a team that has Lionel Messi against the will of the player. As you know, he wanted to leave last summer. Young players who are beginning to emerge, but they are not experienced first division or experienced elite players. Young players coming from the lower ranks of FC Barcelona, from La Masia. Many aging players. You can't see in any FC Barcelona match. Sergio Busquets is not the Busquets of 2015.
Which, by the way, those contracts awarded were part of the financial problem that they're currently in. The size of them, the length of them for guys that are aging.
Maybe you have seen a front page by a Spanish newspaper called El Mundo, which is a right-wing newspaper based in Madrid, who published the exact amount which Lionel Messi was earning for his contract.
Yes.
And the title was, "This is the contract," with a picture of Leo Messi, of course. "This is the contract that is ruining Barcelona." Lionel Messi's contract is not ruining Barcelona, because Lionel Messi is being paid, I think, a fair amount. Of course, it's many millions of euros, hundreds of millions of euros. I know. But in revenues for the club, Messi gives many things. I mean, advertising, image of the club in the world. Messi earns this amount of money because he deserves. He deserves. What the contracts that are ruining FC Barcelona are these contracts we are talking about. Sergio Busquets, Jordi Alba, you renew these contracts of players who are going to be playing for FC Barcelona until they are 35, 36, and they will keep on being paid like some of the best players in the world when their performance is not the performance that once was. So Ronald Koeman is having a very difficult job with all that. And of course, FC Barcelona is not being a regular team this season. Regular, I mean, you can pass through a month of defeats, of bad sensation, of bad feelings, of thinking that this season will end without a title. And then he touches a key, or he changes any. For example, at Sevilla this last Saturday, he played with three center backs, five midfielders, and two attackers, 3-5-2. This means the fullbacks, in this case, USMNT players Sergiño Dest and Jordi Alba, can play forward and can leave the defensive duties for the three central defenders, who were Mingueza, Piqué, and Lenglet. Lenglet against Cádiz had a very bad performance, but against Sevilla was again the player we knew last season, a very reliable central defender. So that was a good idea by Ronald Koeman. So with this kind of work, he's getting Barcelona still alive in La Liga and even in La Copa del Rey, because FC Barcelona fans are thinking that overcoming this 2-0 defeat in the first round of the semifinals against Sevilla is possible. But I don't think if you agree with me, but in the last few years, I think the level of La Liga, in comparison with other European leagues, has gone down. Premier League, I think, is above all the other leagues in Europe very clearly. And I think now La Liga is, I would put it at level with the Serie A, maybe. I think even the Bundesliga, the German league, has higher standards than La Liga right now. Because, for example, in Real Madrid, you have also an aging squad. And they don't have a clear idea how to play. They don't have a system, a philosophy like Barcelona once had. Of course, Real Madrid wins games. They know how to win games. They know how to do when they score first, how to slow the game and how
kill games
to,
off and manage yeah, games yeah, and kill games it. Off. Jordi, we're up on a hard break. I want to take you into one thing that I know my listeners want to know. They want to get your assessment here in 40 seconds about Sergiño Dest.
Oh, difficult to assess because it's his first season. It's a difficult season for everybody. He's a player that he's showing good abilities, that is showing reliability playing as a fullback or as an attacking fullback like in Sevilla. But of course, I think he hasn't still reached that world-class level required for an FC Barcelona player. But I think it would be unfair to judge Sergiño Dest only for his season. Of course, he arrived in Barcelona only having played 20 matches in Eredivisie in the Dutch league, which is a quite lower standard than in the Spanish league. I think it will be fairer to judge Sergiño Dest from next season on. There are other players, other new players at FC Barcelona, like, for example, Portuguese Trincao, who have struggled, really struggled, more than Sergiño Dest has to get good performances at FC Barcelona. So let's not be unfair with Sergiño, and let's wait until the next season to assess him.
Jordi, you're the best. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Makes me smile. All the way from Barcelona, Jordi Sunyer, TV3, as always. Thank you, Jordi.
Thanks to you, Glenn. Pleasure. Thank you very much.
Jordi brings us incredible stuff from Barcelona. You can only get it on the ground there from him. We'll take a break here. A break brought to you by Advantage BMW Midtown. Get down to Advantage BMW Midtown. Get down there, see Steven, see Justin. They'll get you in a sedan, an X5. They'll take you through the sales process. Incredible customer service. It is Advantage BMW Midtown. Stay with us. More to come.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
All aboard! I.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, that's got to be one of the best intros. Ozzy Osbourne, Crazy Train. Start thinking about it. 713-780-3776. Next segment brought to you by Advantage BMW Midtown. Great friends down there. Steven, Justin. I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased. I bought from down there. Right now in an X5, I'm going to take it to see my good friend Tom Clare, who's in a big battle against cancer down in Louisiana tomorrow. Pay him a visit. It'll be a great drive down I-10. But the other thing I like about Advantage BMW Midtown is customer service. That's a big part of it. It's second to none. So you get in there, they'll cover you with sales, service, finance. It's easy. You get in a sedan maybe, 3, 5, 7 series. Advantage BMW Midtown. Big sponsors of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. By the way, right now, Tigres and Toluca in action here, and this looks very much like the lineup they put out Tigres in the FIFA Club World Cup final against Bayern. And again, huge moment for CONCACAF, huge defining moment for Tigres. Tonight, Guzman, Aquino, Carlos Salcedo, who we've talked about a lot here on the show, Diego Reyes, Dueñas, two holding midfielders, Pizarro and Carioca, Lopez Gignac, Quiñones, whose brother scored against the Dynamo at BBVA, and then Gonzalez as a striker. All right, Aaron, so let me have, before I list, you know, so I looked at this list from Guitar, it's from the Guitar World staff, so it's obviously very subjective, but we're talking about greatest rock and roll intros. What would you put in there?
First off, not Aaron. I'm just not hating.
What would you put in, Aaron?
Tyler, not Aaron.
Aaron may be taking a break.
So can you hear me?
They started with a Tripper.
Can you hear me, Glenn?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Tyler, not Aaron.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm shy. I'm used to Aaron being here, Tyler.
It's all good.
Are you going to slap me on the wrist now? Or
no,
what?
No, I'm just messing. I'm just messing with you.
Okay, so who's one of your favorite rock intros?
I honestly, it's a song used a lot in soccer, Seven Nation Army by White Stripes.
Good one. Good call right there. Yeah, we did play some White Stripes a little bit earlier. You know, you two guys are both such good producers, and we've worked together. That's why I was just used to going to Aaron.
No, I know. I'm just messing with you.
Seven Nation Army is good. Now, that might have taken over for... You remember when Start Me Up by the Stones was like, it was the arena song, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, Gary Glitter before that, but we won't talk about him.
Yeah.
He was a freak.
Let's leave that one out.
Not a very nice man, but I like Seven. You got another one for me?
And then Hot for Teacher.
Ooh.
Pretty much any Van Halen song that has a good lead in, which is most of them.
Yeah, You Really Got Me, the cover of the Kinks. Like, Kinks did it. They did it well, but so did Van Halen. So they had their list. They had Day Tripper number one. And if you've got a thought on this, 713-780-3776. Day Tripper, Beatles, Metallica, Enter Sandman.
Yeah.
Led Zeppelin, Heartbreaker. Great song. I mean, how many Zeppelin songs could you do? You could do The Ocean. You could do Mississippi Queen by Mountain. Which Ozzy actually covered that. That's a great song. So they went Black Sabbath, Iron Man, number four. This was an interesting. Number five was Yes, Roundabout, which is a very different sound. Deep Purple, Smoke on the Water. Cream, Sunshine of Your Love. Kinks, You Really Got Me, which Van Halen also did. And then Aerosmith, Walk This Way. And I'm assuming that's the one with Run DMC. It's got to be. So some good ones.
Yeah, solid list.
We got some good lists. We got some people, let's see. Club Tigris English on Twitter says, Texas Flood, Stevie Ray Vaughan. Good one. Jason Elliott went with Jimi Hendrix, Purple Haze. Another good one. So... ton of them out there. It's always fun to contemplate, but big intros are good. Guns N' Roses. I mean, you could go with a couple there as well. All right. Back to some soccer talk here, and we'll take your numbers either on your greatest rock intro, 713-780-3776, or we'll continue the discussion here on a number of things. I hope you like that interview from Jordy Sunier, because really takes you deep into things. So pretty incredible that 13, you know, sort of companies or ventures or people are hired. And then you do this, you know, social media. I mean, the amount of social media that can be put out by a small amount of people. It's pretty incredible. I think it's the ugly dark side of the Internet. I mean, there are dark arts, obviously, as we all know, on the Internet. It's hard to know what to believe anymore. You have to pick your sources wisely. But small numbers of people can send huge numbers of messages. And a lot of people just take one glance and believe everything and anything that's said these days. Now, me, you can trust every single thing I say, except when I call the producer the wrong name. Second hour, we're going to have Tab Ramos. We'll kick things off in the second hour with him. We'll do a little bit more here. I'll do one more segment. Tab Ramos will be on the program, as well as Christian Ramirez. We'll get some thoughts on early season stuff. I'll also have an update. You know, the Dynamo are working on getting more people in the stadium. They're talking with both Major League Soccer, the NWSL, and then local officials and state officials about what it can be. I think it was 15% last year, and that was about 3,500 fans, somewhere in that neighborhood. So, you know, with today's news and people wanting to get back to games, again, using good common sense, there's a lot going on. Schalke in Germany, if we talk a little Bundesliga right now, and their fifth coach in 1 year. Jadon Sancho today in the 66th minute for Dortmund. They beat Borussia Mönchengladbach 1-0 in that one. Sancho, you know, and this was a great point that was brought up by Jurgen Klinsmann. Sancho, after, you know, there was all the talk of him potentially going to Manchester United, and it was heavy talk. It was pretty serious talk and rumor. And anything else you want to call it. Once that kind of got settled that he wasn't going anywhere, then he started to hit form, and Jurgen Klinsmann pointed that out. I thought that was a good observation when it comes to young professional soccer players and the potential of getting derailed when you're thinking about a move somewhere else. I'd bring Paul Pogba into this as well. Same thing happened with him at United. Once he realized he wasn't going anywhere with COVID, wasn't going to Real Madrid, it seemed his focus became a little bit greater. So there you go. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Big thank you to Advantage BMW Midtown. I've driven one for years. I've leased. I bought from Advantage. I love the drive of the vehicle. Right now in an X5, absolutely love it. It is the ultimate driving machine. You can pick one up. Advantage BMW Midtown. Go down there. Say hello to Steven. Say hello to Justin. Advantage BMW. They're going to cover you with sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. You get in a 3, a 5, a 7 series. They're good down there. Hometown Advantage. You'll get it at Advantage BMW Midtown. They are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And by the way, again, I say this a lot on this show, but support those that support your game when it comes to sponsors. So we're talking about Advantage BMW Midtown, our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And again, I'll remind you, last night in Austin, our Soccer Matters show, incredible interview with former Houston Dynamo defender Kofi Sarkodie, who became a caretaker for his father who suffered a stroke. He just signed with the Austin Bowl, so he's going to be playing up there. But amazing, heartfelt interview with Kofi. You can get it at hornfm.com, plus a really good interview with Josh Wolf, the head coach of Austin FC. Black Keys will take us to break right now. Gold on the ceiling.
ESPN 97.5.